All right, you guys, welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. We are going to do a little something different here. I rebooted the podcast last year. So if you didn't know, I used to have a podcast that was a business only focused podcast, and it was called the Boss Up Podcast. Had a good run. It was fun. But I didn't do interviews. I just kind of just was talking about, hey, here are the things that I'm learning. Here are the things that I've figured out in my entrepreneurial career. And I just felt a need to pass on the wisdom, if you want to call it wisdom. I don't know. Sometimes it was a big fat fail. I don't know. But I just felt the need to communicate. Hey, this is what I'm learning. Hey, here's a shortcut if you want one. And then I started kind of branching out. I wrote a book called Wake Up, and Wake Up had a section that's about business because I think our work is a really important part of our life. But it also had five other sections in it that were about other things in your life, stuff like your finances and your spirituality and your health and your personal needs and your relationships. And I started to kind of expand the things that I was spending my time on all day. So there was like a decade in my life in my 30s where I just felt like all I was doing was focusing on work, 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 work. And raising kids at the same time. And while I was doing that, I was using my time and money to just put my head down and work. And then on the back end of that, I would kind of travel around and I got to see the world. And we built a bunch of businesses, and some of them failed and some of them sold. And I've kind of whittled back down. So I kind of had this like moment of build, 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 especially focused on business and work. And now I'm kind of like coming back down as I focus on these other areas of my life. Particularly in the last few years, I focused on my health, and my spirituality. And I have kind of like expanded my definition of what those things are and how all of these things work together. And so last year, I started to push forward on this idea that I had for revamping the podcast. And as I did that, I was doing some really heavy personal growth stuff. So last year, which I talked about shortly, I talked about it on Instagram for sure. I talked about how in the summer I had signed up to do an ayahuasca retreat in Costa Rica. And I did that because I just wanted to like kick myself through the door. There is some stuff that just wasn't coming together for me. I was tired of spending all my time doing counseling every single week and feeling like, okay, yeah, I'm making some progress here, but there's another level and I'm not finding a way in here. So I started by doing 3 rounds of ketamine. Well, actually, I started by smoking a copious amount of weed, which kind of opened me a little bit. And then that moved me into, all right, I'm going to try psychedelics. I did mushrooms, I did ketamine, and then I capped that off in the year with a trip to Costa Rica, and we did four sessions for, I don't know, sessions. Yeah, sessions of ayahuasca, where I sat in a group with my husband and 20 other people, and we all got high off our asses, saw some things, and then we were sent home to kind of integrate what it is that we saw, experienced, and felt during that time. And so I went directly out to Montana, and I spend my summers with my husband and my kids in Montana, and just tried to just not do anything, just like be where I was, enjoy the moment as it came. And that didn't lend to any creation. I thought possibly when I came back from all the prep and doing ayahuasca that I would have a ton to talk about and I'd be ready to tell everybody, because I think the experience is so interesting. And I have not ever been one to be like, oh, I'm not really ready to talk about that yet. But the opposite happened. I came back and I just felt this like insatiable need to just be alone. Liz can attest. Liz and I have been friends for over 20 years now. We've worked together for 10 of those, and I did not call her. We saw each other during the summer when she and Adam, her husband, came to visit in Montana because we're family friends, and that's it. Like, I just didn't call her. I didn't call any of my friends. I just felt like I should be alone. And here we are about 6 months out from that. And now I'm finally feeling like, okay, I'm starting to have the words here. I'm starting to put some pieces together. And I think the best way to talk about this, rather than just give you guys a lecture, okay, here's what happened. I think this is best going to come out in a conversation style. And so who better to talk about that with than my bestie? And she's got interesting stories. She's also very smart. And she probably is the person in this world that's the most like me that I know. And she's known me for a lot of iterations of Lindsay. And I've known her for a lot of iterations of Liz. I'm going to have her on to be a part of this conversation. I don't know how long this will last. We're not doing any kind of structure around this. I'm not going to promise anything. But I think this is a good place to start with the conversation. I want you guys to get to know us. And we're going to talk about some things that are like super superficial and mean nothing. And we're going to talk about some things that are deep and meaningful and important in our lives. And I hope you're here for all of it. I want to say right off the bat that as we talk about these things, I am not in a place where I'm trying to convince anybody to do what we do, do what I do, like what I do, accept what I do. None of that. I'm not here to convert anyone to the way that I think, feel, or do. I just want to share the experience as I'm walking through this like intense personal growth. Like I feel like I'm not the same person that I was even a year ago, let alone 2, 3, 4, especially I would say 2019. The difference between me in 2019 and the difference of me now is it's a vast cavern. And I don't feel like anybody needs to do it my way. But I do feel like part of my purpose is to communicate. It has always been since I was a little kid. I've been a good communicator. It's been one of my gifts and my skills, and it's something that I've felt compelled to do. Even when people don't like it, and trust me, when you're talking about religious stuff, people don't like it. And that's okay. That's okay. I will push forward because I feel like it's more important for us to have multiple points of view, to have somebody else's experience that's maybe not the same of your as yours, to make you think, to make you evaluate, and for you to try on. So the way that I learn is just to try things on. I will hear about something, and instead of taking somebody's word for it, I'll go and do the thing. I'll go and put it on. And is this me? Is this not me? Is this true for me? Is this not true for me? Do I like this? Do I not like this? Just because somebody else likes it doesn't mean that I will. And the same will be true for you. Just because I like it, just because Liz likes it, doesn't mean that you will. It doesn't mean it's right for you. But I also think to cut ourselves off from a different point of view is in direct hindrance to our growth. I think that there is room for everyone to have an experience here on earth. And I just want to share mine. I want to share mine because there's enough of people hiding their experience, pretending that their experience isn't happening, and honestly feeling really alone with their experience, which is not what I want. I want, again, and I've said this since the beginning when I started my first business, that I really want a group of people that are on fire for what they're doing in their life. It's not that Liz and I do the same thing or we agree on everything. We don't. But I like to see Liz on fire for what it is that she's doing, because that's exciting and that energy rubs off on us. And these are the people that we want to be around. These are the people that we want to live our life around, because it can't help but infect us in a way. And that's the energy that I want. That's the energy that I think that we're going to need to get through the shit show that is happening outside of our front doors. Especially if you live in the United States. I can't speak for everywhere else. I don't live there. But here, it feels like a shit show outside. And so I think the cure for all of this is just more communication. Not more judgment, more communication. So we're not here to judge anybody, tell anybody anybody's wrong. We're just sharing our experiences. And as I was talking about, hey, where do we start with this? Like, we're ready to have a conversation. Where do we start? I was thinking about this Christmas with my kids, and we made them buy each other gifts in these four categories. And I thought, okay, well, this might be a kind of a fun place to start is, I mean, number one, something that they want. Number two, something they need. Number three, something to wear. And number four, something to read. And I was interested, like, oh, I wonder what Liz's books were for last year. What does she love? She's a big reader. I tended to read a lot of self-help last year. I didn't read but one fiction book. And that was because Liz told me to. I want to find out, like, what were we wearing last year? What is it that we want? What did we want last year? Did we get it? And what is it that we're needing in our lives right now? And did we get that last year? So I think that's where we're going to start this conversation is want, need, wear, read. I don't anticipate this to be an extremely heavy and deep conversation. I think this is going to be a great one to maybe get some new ideas and possibly check out a new book from the library. I don't know. I don't know your life. However you want to deal with that, that's great. So Liz, you want to introduce yourself? Talk a little bit about who you are and what you do and why you're here.
Yes. First of all, I want to say this might not resonate with your audience, but immediately I feel like AJ Hawk on the Pat McAfee show. And in my brain, I'm trying to figure out how can I get a filtration system in my office so that I can smoke cigars during a podcast and maybe this takes off and I smoke a cigar every time.
I would love that.
Don't think it's going to happen. I'll put it on my want list for 2024.
It's elevator pitch time.
Oh my God.
Who are you?
It's really hard to have an elevator pitch when your job is like, what is my job?
We don't know. What do? We don't know. We can't be the only ones.
People on the internet are dying to know what I do, and they think that I'm being coy, but I don't know how to tell them what I do right now. Don't know how to tell them.
There is no category for what it is that we do right now.
Flux. I'm here for the ride. That's what I do.
Yes.
I'm here for the ride. When things come up, I facilitate them. When problems arise, I clean up the messes. And on the side, I'm a freelance writer.
I love that. Freelance writer, and she's been published in multiple magazine articles this year or last year, 2023.
Yep.
And I know you have some coming up for 2024. Mm-hmm. What is it that you mostly write about?
I write about guns and women and their how they intersect. So I started several years ago, I guess it was 2018 or 2019. It was before 2020. I had an Instagram account that got hacked and held
for ransom. That day.
And I was kind of devastated, not because I had a huge following, because I didn't have a huge following. I think it was like 3,000 people, which is not nothing, but it wasn't, you know, a big monetized following or anything like that. But I was devastated because I had had the same Instagram account for a decade. I don't know how long has Instagram been around. I had the account for that long, and it was photos, but more importantly, words attached to the photos, you know, kind of like a scrapbook through the years. And if you know anything about Lindsay and I, scrapbooking is how we met. Scrapbooking is how we came together. And, you know, memories and stories and photos and words and all that kind of stuff has always been important to us. So that was all gone. And they wanted me to give them Bitcoin. And I'm not giving anybody my Bitcoin, including the US government, should they request it. So I just let them have it. I told them they can have the account and I don't care. And the name is still tied up to this day. It was my name. So that was cool. And after about a day of just being, you know, kind of devastated about it, I decided to start a new account. And I remember you telling me the story of Jen Gottlieb, maybe got her account hacked and her account was like, okay. And then she started this new account and it just completely like took off in her perspective on it. And, you know, it just,
mm-hmm. I remember that day.
It just, you know, kind of went gangbusters. So I did, I started a new account in, you know, another variation of my name, and it, you know, it was kind of going okay. I think I recovered in the first month, like all the same amount of followers that I had or whatever, with, you know, help from people letting them know. And at the time I had started dipping my toes into posting about concealed carry on the internet, which not a lot of people were doing. And I wasn't really sure about my audience, how they would react to that. It had been something I had done for, you know, probably 5 or 6 years at that point. Didn't talk about it a lot because it's not really a big topic in female circles. So I started to do it, and I quietly, the way that women do, through private message, got a lot of really good feedback. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this off to a new account, just because I want to reach the people that I want to reach, and the other people, like, I don't want to mix the two things that I was trying to do. So I did, and I started my new account for that solely. And after about 6 months, it started to take off, to the point of where, you know, I hadn't even been checking my old account. This was like where I was going to focus. So after 6 months, it got some traction. And I thought, what happens if I give it a year, a solid year where I really focus on this, I really treat it as if it's going to be something. And I did, and it grew fairly quickly. And at the time I decided that I, you know, micro influencing was kind of becoming a thing. So once you had like 2,000, 3,000 followers, people were reaching out to you and they would want to offer you product in exchange for a post. And I really didn't want to do that. I've always had a full-time job, and it's always, you know, kind of been full-time plus with other things that I'm doing on the side. I didn't have time for that. And a lot of the products are kind of not great. So I had decided I want to use this account to hold out for the good stuff. And for me, the good stuff was to write. I wanted to, there was a lady that I followed, and she was a writer in the gun industry, like a female voice. And I wanted to do that too, like from my own take on it. And about 18 months in, that happened. So I had connected with a woman who followed me, and she ran social media for this company, and she called me to talk about content. And then she said, hey, we were just in a meeting, and our editor in chief, he's our female voice went away. She went to another company, and we need that. Next week I was on a call with him. Next week after that, I signed a freelance contract. And this will be my third year with them. And then last year I picked up two other online outfits. So yeah, that was just kind of the progression of that and how I learned to grow an Instagram following myself through something that had nothing to do with the original intent or the original types of posts or anything like that, you know, but totally kind of flipped it, didn't think it would go anywhere. And then that's the one that took off and is, you know, still growing, and the one that I would, you know, the one that I'm active on today.
I love that story, especially because I remember the day that happened, and how, I mean, that would be devastating for any of us, especially if we've tried at all to put time into content creation, to have it hacked and taken like that. And I wouldn't be giving those bitches my Bitcoin either. I don't have any Bitcoin, but if I had some, I wouldn't give it to them.
Just Bitcoin, don't give anybody your Bitcoin. Okay. Yesterday, the Bitcoin ETF launched. The government is in Bitcoin. It's not a desired outcome. I beg of you, do not give anybody your Bitcoin. Do not sell it to anybody.
Saw that yesterday. And I was like, well, I don't trust this, whatever it is.
We are still very bullish on Bitcoin, but we are observant and cautious.
Oh my God. Of
the government, as always.
Well, good intro. I'll tell you about Liz and I. We did meet in scrapbooking. We were 23, or maybe turning 23 that year. We're both 22. We're like 20 days apart in age. We were both 1980 babies, and we were like the holding it down for the young crowd in these scrapbooking online, because at the time it was like message boards was like the deal, right? This is what you do. I love it. And we've just stayed close. At one point I moved to the Seattle area, and she had moved from Buffalo to the Seattle area some years before that. And so we were like, we became closer because we were in close contact. So we would spend holidays and stuff together. My kids know her as Aunt Liz and Uncle Adam. So this has just been like kind of a long progression. And then as my business started to take off, Liz and I started working together, and she just, again, like what she doesn't have, I would say, a job description. I would say she's along for the ride. And the great thing about Liz is that she's willing to try anything with me and stuff we have no business doing, no business. We don't know anything about it. Like, we've done events for thousands of people, no business doing that. We've done public speaking, no business. She was there on the first time I took a stage, and there was 300 people in the audience, and we had to have someone underneath the stage holding the wires together because we literally did not know what we were doing. She's been there from, like, we even took trips like overseas, went to Singapore together. So we've done a wide berth of things together. No person better to talk through this stuff than Liz. So let's get started. Let's talk about want first. I want to talk about the things that we wanted. And I want to start with 2023. I feel like this might be a really good recap of last year. What was it that we wanted? For me last year, the thing I think that I wanted was to break through. I was looking for this breakthrough. I can't be the only person that felt like almost stuck at the end of 2022, where we had had 2 years where we were kind of like in our house for a bit. All of my public speaking stopped. All of my travel stopped. And then once I had this break from doing that stuff in, like, I think my last speaking event was, it was March. So it was right before the lockdown. I was in Minnesota. I did a speaking event in Minnesota. We came back and right away we got locked down. And that was the last thing that I did to travel for work. And I enjoyed it. And then I didn't want to pick it up again. Once it was gone for about 6 months to 8 months, I had this like euphoric break for about 6 months of it, where I was like just on such a high of loving to be home, be with my kids all the time. They're homeschooled, but there was like more quality time. I was spending more time with Michael. I did not want to get back onto the road. And then again, 2 years pass and you start asking yourself questions like, what am I doing with my life? I'm like 40 years old. We're not quite at retirement age, but I find myself semi-retired. I had had a business that took off and I was able to kind of like just coast. I didn't need to work to bring more money in. The money was coming in. And so what kind of questions do you ask yourself at times like that? And that is, what's the point? What is the point of all of this? And so after a couple of years of that, of just like enjoying my time off and then like chastising myself for being lazy, I wanted something to like kickstart. What's the next thing for me? I had done a lot of like spiritual searching at that time. I started to kind of like examine myself, examine my beliefs that I was holding about myself, my family, my work, my life. And I did that by kind of holding it up. Instead of saying, oh, this is just what I think and I'm acting out of that belief, I asked myself questions like, okay, well, this is what I'm saying I believe. Where did this come from? Whose voice is actually saying this? And so for me, 2023 was the year where what I really wanted was some kind of a kickstart. And I felt like, okay, I got to do something drastic here because it's not coming to me. And I tend to be one of those people that just will interact with whatever shows up at my door. Well, when you're just in your house all the time, not much shows up at your door. and I think I created it like that on purpose. I think I created that like that out of desperate need of a break. I had just like run myself into the ground working 100-hour work weeks. And gratefully so. Like, I was choosing it. I was choosing those work situations. And that burnout came for me, and it came for me hard. But I needed something to kickstart something new for me. And so I was like, well, I've kind of started to walk down this psychedelics route. I'm wondering what's on here, like what's in my shadow that I'm not seeing. I had done some really hardcore counseling. I started to do some inner child work, which is awesome and also terrifying. And it's honestly, it's embarrassing for me. I grew up in a household that was not focused on what it is that you feel. Emotions were not something that we discussed. And therefore, I had learned to be afraid of my emotions. Well, this is like all emotional work. So it's uncomfortable. And I was ready to be just the most uncomfortable that I could think of. And I thought, what is the one thing that would scare the fucking pants off of me? And that would be doing DMT. Taking that ride where you have absolutely no control over what you're going to be shown and seen. I tend to be one of those people that is not going to walk willingly into something that's terrifying, but that terrified me. And that's when I knew, like, oh, this is coming for me. I have to do this. Like, I felt like I was being poked on the shoulder. Hey, are you ready for this yet? Are you ready for this yet? Are you ready for this yet? And I had signed up to do ayahuasca in 2020, and that got canceled because of COVID. So we were going to go into the California desert, and it was like a bring your own bucket situation. We're going to camp out here. We're all going to do this. We'll see what happens. So I was prepared to do it. Then when it got canceled, I kind of like took a deep sigh of relief on the inside. Like, oh my God, thank God. I almost did that. But the idea didn't leave me. So there was just constantly this, hey, don't forget, this is here for you. Don't forget, this is here for you. And honestly, I wanted to try it on. I wanted to put it on. Is this what everybody says it is? Is this like every ayahuasca ceremony is 10 years of therapy? Is that true? Is it true for me? The only way I can know is to do it. And so I decided, all right, this is what I'm going to do. But since I have like zero time doing psychedelics, I was like, all right, I'm going to really have to build up to this. So I did mushrooms, and then I did ketamine with a doctor, and I did all of that knowing at the end of it, the pièce de résistance is going to be, I'm going to sit and do 4 ceremonies of ayahuasca. And we're going to see who I come out on the other side as, which is a little terrifying when you have kids. Like, what's going to happen to me? What could change here? And how will that change everything for not just me, but my entire family? But I felt, again, called. I felt like I couldn't say no to it. And I will tell you guys everything that happened in my ayahuasca ceremony. And I know Michael is ready to talk about his. He's willing to do it as well. We will get there. I'm not going to tell you the whole story today because that would take, it's a long process. We told it to Liz and Adam last summer, and it was like a four nights of talking about the same thing just to get the entire story out, because it's so layered and nuanced and so much stuff that just doesn't seem to have words. I'm having a hard time putting words to the stuff that we experience because words fail. Words fail. Of course it does. It's like the lowest form of communication. Right. So I will tell you guys all about that experience, but I went and did that in June, and it's taken me about 6 months to feel like, okay, I've got some words now, and I've got some perspective. I've integrated some of this stuff that I've seen, and I'm more comfortable with my shadow, and therefore I'm comfortable to share it. So what I really wanted was that I wanted a kickstart to something new. I wanted to force myself into discomfort last year. And that's exactly what I did. What was it that you wanted, Liz?
For me last year, I think it was kind of twofold, probably connected. So probably a long talk for another day, but I went off of birth control for the first time in 30 years, almost like 28 years. So I had been on birth control since I was young for cramps, right? Legitimately. I mean, 1994, 95 or whatever, that's how they treated it when you went to your, you know, male, whatever doctor. So I went on it very early, and I have never wanted kids. I've never tried to have kids. So I never had a reason to go off of it at any point. So I don't know what that experience was like. So when I turned 42, I thought, okay, you're kind of sailing into that next chapter of your life. Probably get a jump on like figuring out like all that hormone cycle, all that kind of stuff that you don't really get to figure out when you're on long-term birth control. before a lot of these changes happen, right? So one of the big things that I thought of as a precursor to that is I wanted to know what it was like to feel feelings, which sounds so goofy to say at 43 years old, but I also did not grow up in a house where feelings were talked about or explored or nurtured or whatever you want to say. That just wasn't my house. And I do think it was a lot of the times. I don't think in the 80s and the 90s that was so much of a thing as how you're bringing up your kids now, or even, you know, how I speak to my nieces and nephews now and stuff like that. Right. So I thought, okay, well, I really don't know what my reaction is to a lot of stuff because, you know, again, huge conversation over, you know, birth control and all that kind of stuff. But for me, for a long time, I feel like that kind of kept me really level and even keeled, which I do think I am that type of person anyways. I do think that I'm, you know, generally kind of an even keeled person. But that accentuated that, right? So I thought, well, I, you know, I don't know. So let's see how that goes. And it's been an interesting year to say the least with that, learning a lot. And I wanted to move somewhere sunny. Again, sounds kind of, it's not deep. It's not, you know, it sounds kind of goofy, but mental health wise, it is, it's the older I get, the tougher it is to live in a place that gets on average 75 days of sun a year.
75. Yes. Yeah. And for those of you guys that don't know, Liz lives in Seattle. I live in Phoenix right now during the winter. We're snowbirds. So we do Phoenix. We do Phoenix from Halloween to the beginning of the summer. And then we do Montana for three to 4 months in there in the summertime when it is blazing fucking hot here. We go out to Montana, enjoy the cool weather and the mountains, and we live off grid.
For me, I grew up in worse weather. So I did not think that the darkness would affect me so much. It's not the rain. The rain is annoying. It's the darkness, right? Yep. And so for me personally, as I get older, that's always been a thing. And that combined with living really far from my family, which has been, again, not really a big deal for me. I've always desired to live near my family again, but it's not really been a thing that kept me up at night until I would say probably about 2 years ago. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I have to at least get back to the East Coast. I'm not going to move back to New York, but I need to at least get back to the East Coast. Like,
where do you want to go? Where do you want to go that's sunny?
Charleston, South Carolina is my dream city. It's my husband's dream city too. So we are, you know, that's like our prayer in our prayers. That would be our dream place. But honestly, I would just go somewhere that was sunny, south, freer than where I freer than where I currently reside. This morning I was reading all the pre-filed legislation for my state, and it is going to be a hell of a year if they get their way. I'll say that.
So many rules.
Yeah.
So many rules.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So what it was that we needed, let's move to need. What did I need last year? I needed to have my ass kicked last year. I needed that. I needed to put into practice all of the stuff that I had like learned. I needed to experience the things that I knew to be true inside of me, which is that that the spiritual part of me is actually the biggest part of me. It's also the part of me that I put off spending time and resources in like getting into. So when I get into something, I get into it big. And I put off, like I did all of the other cornerstones. So there are six of them. I did them all. I did them all and left the last one. The last two that I did were the health, right? Because I didn't want to get in the gym. And I always had a hard time staying consistent in the gym. And I just would get, I would get into the gym and I would just hate myself. I hate going to a gym with bros. I don't give a shit about what people wear. I hate the gym culture. I didn't want to be anywhere near a gym. I just had a really hard time facing this part of me because I eat my feelings instead of talking about them. And so I finally had kind of gotten that under control where I built a habit doing the Wake Up 100. I had built a habit of getting in the gym. That's no longer a challenge for me. I don't have a hard time getting down there and taking care of my body in that way, strength training. And like, you know, now we do it every day before school with my kids. So I had kind of gotten that part under control. And the last and the only part left for me to like kind of explore was the spiritual portion. Okay, so let me explain the six cornerstones. I wrote about this in my book, Wake Up. So if you haven't read it yet, let me give you the quick condensed version. You can decide from there whether you want more information or not. But the six cornerstones are kind of like this thing that I learned in my early 20s. I went to a conference with my mom for real estate agents because I was working for her at the time out of college, and I did all of her graphics and behind the scenes stuff. So I was like her assistant for a little while, and she took me to this conference and Jim Rohn was a speaker there. And I feel super, super lucky to have been able to see him speak live in person, because there is something about his energy that changed my life forever, forever. This, what he talked about, stuck with me forever. And he talked about these, for him, it was five areas of a good life is what he said. And I have since come to think that there's actually six of them. I have expanded a little bit, moved some things around for what my experience has been. But they go like this: your personal life, which I think the three categories of your personal life are the things that you're going to create, the things you want to learn, and the things that you want to experience. And I had done that in my 20s. Like I had like written big goals for myself. This is what I want to do in my life. This is what I want to experience. And to be honest with you, in my 30s, I checked them all off the list. I checked them all off. What do you do when you check off all of your life goals in your 30s is you set other really, really big goals and you start digging into this stuff. So your personal life, and then there's your relationships, your family, your partner, your friends. Right? The three categories of your personal relationships. I like to think of them in a target where the majority of your time goes to the center of your target. These are the people that you spend the most time with, the people that are the closest to you, that you care the most about, and it kind of moves out into your tertiary people in your life. And then you've got your work, the things you do to bring in money. Perhaps this is where your talent lies. Perhaps this is where your skill lies. And perhaps this is where you get your sense of fulfillment. Often, I think, especially for men, comes from work. How are we producing? And then from what we produce, that moves into the category of finances. How are we spending our money? How are we saving our money? What do we want to do with our money? What kind of things do we want to experience with our money? How is this going to help us create a life that we love? And then for me, the last two, because I got all of those in check before I ever touched health and before I ever touched my spiritual practice. And that was, and when I say health, I mean your physical body and your mental mind. Like, this is not just like a, are you working out, but are you taking care of your mental state? Are you giving a shit about what your insides are saying? Is your mind just running off to the races, or are you actually aware? Are you being present? That's what I mean when I say health. And then finally, the spiritual cornerstone. And what I've started to see was that as I dug into the spiritual cornerstone and started to hold up to the light, is this really what I believe? I grew up in a super religious household, like fundamental Christian religious household. And I started to hold up to the light. All right, this is what I say I believe. This is what comes to my mind when I say that. Is this true for me still? I held it all up with an open hand. I'm willing to give it up if it's not for me. And I started to figure out that when I opened up that spiritual door, it started to trickle out into all of the other five cornerstones. So rather than seeing it as a separate entity where it's like five circles that connect together on the outside, I started to see it in a different picture form, in a form of like a tree, where the roots of the tree are your personal work, relationships, finances, and health, right? The taproot being the health. Then they all filter up and down through a trunk of a tree. It looks like a tree. In my mind, when I see it, everything has to run through that spiritual aspect. And if you're not aware of it, you're going to get some results that you are not prepared for or aren't expecting on the other side. Because what we do in these five areas, I think, produces fruit, to use a word from the Bible. And it's up to us to taste that fruit and decide, does this taste good to me or does it not? Is this sweet or is this bitter? And so I think that what I needed was to be shaken a little bit, because my paradigm was starting to shift. I was seeing things differently now. I was seeing it all through this spiritual mindset. And I said a couple of times, like, oh, everything is spiritual. I just didn't see it like that before, but it's all spiritual. It's all connected to this. Just because I didn't acknowledge it didn't mean that it wasn't there and it wasn't existing. And opening that door has given so much more meaning to the other five cornerstones. They mean more when they're filtered through a spiritual lens. And I don't mean spiritual like religious. I, in fact, lost my religion over the last few years. I set it down completely. I wouldn't say I lost it. I put that shit down on purpose. But I mean spiritual in the way that, like, in spirit, the spirit, the way that you do something. I asked my youngest daughter the other day, what do you think the difference is between your soul and your spirit? And she said something so fucking profound. Like, she said, oh, well, your soul is the game player and your spirit is the way you play the game. And I don't know that to be true. I haven't, I'm doing a deep dive on the difference between body, mind, soul, spirit, ego, psyche, all of that right now. I'm doing a lot of research on it. I'm printing out articles like you would not believe, but it was just such a simple way to think of it. And I just mean, like, you filter everything that you're thinking about through your spirit, the way that you play the game. If you think of life as a video game, the way that you play it would be your spirit. And you can have a spirit of negativity, or you can have a spirit of everything works out for me. And it will produce fruit that you will eventually have to eat. You got to eat the fruit on that tree. It's every day you are eating a piece of that fruit. And I think we settle for bitter fruit all the time. We settle for fruit that is run through a spirit of, oh, I actually give a shit what everybody else thinks. And I want what kind of fruit that person over there has. And so I'm going to try that fruit. And even if it tastes bitter to us, we're not aware. We're not even realizing we don't even like this fruit that we're working so hard to produce. And so that's kind of what Wake Up was about. And I'm seeing this as an everything spiritual situation now, that I needed a real experience with that. I needed to jumpstart something. And that's exactly what I got last year. It's because it's amazing. What you ask for, what you need, is exactly what you will get, as long as you can become aware of it, put it out there, write it down on a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be some kind of official, I'm signing something and I've gone and I've done my, you know, my vision board and this is what it looks like. That's great. I think all of that stuff is awesome. I do vision boards too. I write down my goals too, but just a simple thought will produce something. Like, we can create something out of nothing. And that thing, the way that we create that thing, that's our spirit. And that is a spiritual practice. I truly believe this is the way that we live a really, really big life. I am interested in living a big life, and I wasn't ready to be done at the age of 40. And what I needed was, I needed to kick my ass last year so that I can bring something new to the table. How about you?
So for me, last year, I needed to show myself that I could still learn something that was involved and difficult. So for the last couple of years, I have been learning how to manage my investment portfolio. So a few years ago, I found a guy who has become my mentor, and I had just felt like I hadn't learned anything in a while, because in our business, there was a lot of constant learning. Like you mentioned, that we always do stuff that we don't have any business doing, including this podcast. We don't, you know, my microphone is propped up on books. You know, my office looks like a literal prison right now, a literal prison cell right now. But I feel like we are both the type of people who are committed to lifelong learning, whether that's learning a skill or learning about ourselves or, you know, learning how to be a certain way or, you know, anything like that. And so we had that. We had a really long run of that, right? And then 2020 hit and things changed for everybody, everybody's business.
Grinding halt.
Grinding halt for most of the things that we did, right? We were still doing stuff, but it was a lot of sustaining and playing. When you had a business in that, you know, like terribly frightening economy, there was a lot of defensive work, right? So we were doing a lot of defensive work. We were not doing a lot of offensive work. And subsequently, like you had talked about, the speaking thing had stopped and you were glad about that. And we were pivoting and all of that kind of stuff was good. But it kind of left me feeling like, oh, okay, what am I going to learn? Like, what am I doing right now? So for me, that was learning how to trade stocks and learning how to invest. And I manifested a mentor and I found him. He appeared to me. And that was something that I had always thought that I was risk averse with money, but I wasn't risk averse. I was fearful because I didn't know enough. Mm. So once I started to learn, I realized like immediately, I am really into this. I really want to learn. And I remember taking one weekend where I just holed myself up in my office for the entire weekend and just like learned everything I could. And it's been a continuous multiple year process. But last year, particularly, like one of the things when you're doing this, when you're trading stocks and buying stocks and even holding stocks for a long time, is you need to have a strategy and you need to stick to it no matter what. No matter what the president says, no matter what Jay Powell says, no matter what your neighbor says, no matter what your rich multimillionaire friend says, you pick a system at the beginning and you stick with it, or you are assuming so much risk and you are so much more susceptible to losing your money when you are doing things based on emotions. Talked previously about me needing to feel emotions last year. So it was a little bit of a, you know, kind of a push and pull for me. So I needed to show myself that no matter what, I could stick to this system for an entire year, take the money that I had now and make that work for me so that in retirement, I'm not, you know, eating cat food. And, you know, I did that last year, right? I doubled our dividend account. I doubled the amount of dividends that we will, you know, eventually be able to draw in, you know, a fairly substantial amount in a short amount of time, because I decided that I wanted that more than I wanted another pair of sneakers or another bag or, you know, even a vacation. Like I just decided that there was more value to me in 20 years than it was, you know, right now. I had everything I needed right now. And that's not to say that I didn't buy any sneakers. Let's get real. I bought several pair. Okay. not to say that I didn't, you know, take a vacation or I don't have one plan for this year or anything like that. It was not a deprivation type of situation. It was a like, hey, you make a pretty decent amount of money. Where is it? What are you doing with it? Do you want to work the rest of your life? Because at 43, I know that I don't, you know, like I want to work, but I want to do the things that I want to do. And you can only buy that type of freedom, with having money. I don't, you know, right. Claiming that money brings you happiness, but it does give you, freedom and time and space to think and space to breathe and, you know, all kinds of things that we don't talk about. So that was, I needed that year to prove to myself that I could stick to a system no matter what happened. We'll resume this in 20 years and see if I was right. But for now, I
think we'll see if you're eating cat food.
I think it was a good thing. It'll be bugs though. We won't even have cat food in 20
years.
That's
right. Yeah. We're going to eat bugs and we're going to like it, Liz.
Bug patties. So
find me off grid in Montana eating meat. All right. Then. All right, let's do a fun one then. Let's talk about wear. What did we wear last year? I think this is interesting. I wore my signature uniform, which is a hoodie and yoga pants every day of my life last year. I hate putting real clothes on when I have to, like, I used to live in jeans. Jeans was like all I wore. I hate putting on pants now. I only put on yoga pants and my hoodie. And then I did a deep dive on the amount of plastic and toxic shit that is in activewear, which scared the hell out of me. There was an article that my mother-in-law sent me at one point last year that was like talking about how much toxic plastic, forever plastic, the PFAS, forever plastic, is in our clothes that we wear that seeps through our skin. Of course it does, like we're wearing a nicotine patch, and is poisoning us. And I found out that we're eating a credit card worth of plastic on average every single week of our lives. And I was like, you know, I think that that's probably not great for our systems. And this could probably have a lot to do with brain fog and lack of motivation. And it's probably affecting parts of my life that I don't even realize. So I started doing a deep dive on clean activewear. I found a couple of companies that do clean activewear. I did a very public try-on of activewear and bras, which I did not see that one coming. So that I could try out and like actually try it, right? Rather than taking people's word for it, I'm gonna go buy all of these companies' activewear, try them all on, tell you which ones are awesome, which ones suck. But I did find an activewear company that I loved. I just like threw out all my bras and bought new Handful bras. So it's Handful is the company. I'll put a link in the show notes if you guys want it with a little discount. But they turned out to be the most comfortable bra, and it is completely clean. So I was wearing clothes that hopefully are not poisoning my system, because you cannot believe the shit that is in activewear. Like, you cannot believe it. And then I did a situation where I called all of these activewear companies. I had a list of probably 50 activewear companies, and I wrote them all emails, called them on the phone, talked to their customer service, and like none of them would admit that it was bad for us, but also none of them would tell me that it was clean. They would like do this like political answer thing where they don't answer you, but pretend that they did and then try to get rid of you. So like all these big companies that are charging $150 for a pair of leggings are straight poison. And I hate that. I hate that. So I threw out all of my toxic clothes last year and started looking into like non-tox activewear, because that's all I want to wear is activewear. I want to wear stuff that's comfortable. Today I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt and no bra. And that's just how it is. And that's pretty much what I wore all last year. I got really back into Vans last year. I bought about 7 pairs in different colors of Vans, which I felt like, hey, I could buy 7 pairs. It's still just the cost of one pair of more expensive sneakers. And so I wear a different color of Vans every day. And that is pretty much it. I stopped wearing pretty much all makeup. Today I have on lip gloss and some cream blush. And that is all. I stopped giving a shit about what my face looked like. I think I finally realized that my face is not here to make other people feel happy about it. And so I stopped caring. Like, I didn't wear a lot of makeup anyway. I didn't put it on every day. But I really stopped this year. I think I have one tinted moisturizer that Liz told me about that I use every once in a while when I've got a lot of situation going on. But actually, since then, my face has cleared up. So much of the acne that I had, I think, was connected to the bullshit that is in those products that we just put on our face and don't think about how it's affecting our health. The spiritual journey will do this. You start going down the spiritual path and you realize it's all connected. And then you start thinking about your health and the things that you're wearing and what you're doing in totally different ways. So that was what I was wearing this year. What did you wear this year, Liz?
I only had 2 outfits this year. One was athletic gear, which is my 97% of the time outfit since I was a kid playing soccer. I'm just still wearing literally the same thing. I am unfortunately still wearing plastic pants because the good Lord blessed me with a 23.5-inch inseam. So, you know, at my age, wearing the pants that, like, you know, kind of baggy at the bottom and stuff like that with my build, just not an option. So only the politically correct plastic pant makers make short inseams these days. I'm really holding out Handful, if you're listening to this, Pact, I think, is that another one. Give us some petite options. The petite girlies, they want less plastic around their vagine too. So joggers is my thing. I really only wear leggings in the gym now. That was a change for me. I wear joggers, cropped sweatshirt, cropped t-shirt. And then the other thing that was shocking, honestly, is I wear wide leg jeans now. I wear baggy jeans now. So that was it. So sometimes jeans, always sneakers. I got a few Vans this year too. I got some platform Vans. The first week that I wore them, I almost rolled my ankles 77 times. And I told my husband, I think I'm gonna have to return these, but I've already worn them on pavement, so it's probably not gonna work out. But I would like walk to grab something and roll my ankle. I've gotten the hang of it now. I don't know what that was all about. So yeah, just my typical Nikes or Vans and jeans and joggers. That's it. Multiple chains still.
All right. And finally, what did we read last year? I read a bunch, like I said earlier, I read a bunch of self-help last year. I read some books that I actually stormed through, and then some that took me forever. One that took me forever to finish was It Didn't Start With You. Like I said, self-help. And It Didn't Start With You is about generational trauma and how that affects us. I'm starting to believe that trauma is passed down in our DNA from generation to generation. And it just takes somebody noticing it and deciding not to continue that on, that pattern, to heal that part of us. And It Didn't Start With You is, it's basically an exercise, a long book form exercise to like get that stuff out of you. It took me a long time to get through it because writing about my parents is difficult. My mom is dead. That's difficult in itself. It's hard to have problems with someone that's not around to have problems with. And I am estranged from my dad. I haven't talked to my dad. I haven't had a relationship with him since I was young. And so then by the time I turned 18, I could actually make that choice. And I haven't had a relationship with him since. Walking through that stuff is hard, especially because the information that I have about him is from when I was young, right? And that's probably not accurate. It's probably skewed through a child's perspective. And so the writing exercises were difficult. Going back and sitting in my skin as a little kid is difficult. I'm doing a lot of inner child stuff. So that was a good one. It was a great book, actually. I read a book called The Garden Within by Dr. Anita Phillips at the end of the year. And I read it probably in 2 days and I highlighted the shit out of it. It is a great book. The entire premise of the book is that our heart, our physical heart, is like a garden, and we are constantly planting seeds of thought in our heart, and it grows from there. Again, it's going to produce fruit, and that fruit is going to taste a certain way, or it's going to produce in a certain way. Are we being aware of the kind of seed that we are planting in our heart? Are we being present enough to see it, or is it just happening without our knowledge? Great book. I highly recommend it. I read a book called The Leap, which was great. Stephen Taylor, and it's about spiritual enlightenment. And it talks a lot about different faiths and the similarities and the differences between them, and how enlightenment works. I really like him. He's got a new book that's coming out that I already pre-ordered. Oh, I read The Celestine Prophecy last year. I found that one to be really good. It's one of those, it's like a parable. It's telling you a story. It's giving you a point through an entire story. And I found that one to be really cool as well. Loved that one. That was recommended to me. And that one actually came to me. So I felt like, oh, I have to read this one. I read Mary Magdalene Revealed by Megan Watterson. And that was maybe my favorite book of last year. I loved it. It's about the lost book of Mary and her story and why her story might have been left out. There's parts of her story that they found three different versions of the Book of Mary, which was excluded from the canon. And there are pages of her story that are missing, that they have not recovered and uncovered. And it's an interesting twist on what at least I was taught. So I know the stories, and this book really flipped all those stories on its head and really made me think deeper about that. I think the thing, it wasn't a read. I didn't read this, but I took a course by Katie Moon last year that we actually re-recorded together. And that kind of put me down this path. So if you're like, oh, how do you get here from a fundamental Christian upbringing to reading stuff about, you know, self-help and stuff that's sometimes off limits in religion. And that course is the thing that kind of moved me from that place of fundamental religion mindset into a mindset of there's nothing off limits. I'm here to have an experience with God, and there's nothing that's off limits for me to experience here. It's just for me to try on and decide, yes, this is true for me. No, it's not. Yes, I want more of this. No, I do not. And I can only know that if I do it. It's not enough for me to sit in a pew and hear a pastor tell me this is a sin or it's not. I need to feel that. So anyway, that's the course that kind of got me into this place. And then the one fiction book that I read was called The Midnight Library. I was looking for something that was going to be a little bit easier and like softer, especially after I had come out of ayahuasca. I was like, oh man, it took me forever to read the book because I just didn't dedicate a lot of time. Like I couldn't sit and concentrate on a book for very long, but I really liked it. I really liked Midnight Library, and I have his next book on tap to go whenever I'm ready for my next fiction. What did you read this last year?
Opposite for me, I read mostly fiction last year, which is not typical of me the past couple of years. And I read a lot of kind of modern romance novels because I read to fall asleep. I read every night before bed. And I found last year that I was having trouble reading my normal thriller, true crime, murder, mystery that I've been reading since literally like a kid. I remember when my grandmother gave me, you know, handed off an Anne Rule novel. And I was a kid, I was little, you know? So I found that this stuff that you could just read and not think about after you went to sleep, I kind of suspected the other stuff was affecting my sleep. And I think it was. So I read a lot of that. I mean, there's a million of those, but I read some more serious fiction and I read some nonfiction. So two nonfiction books that I listened to on audio with my husband, and we both really liked. One was the Jeff Green book about Waco, and that was crazy. We think we know what happened at Waco, but you don't. So so that was really good. And then the other one was Killers of the Flower Moon by David Grann. So that turned into a movie. So I had started that book when it came out, which I think it was actually in 2019. And I had started it and it had made me so mad that I stopped reading it for a little bit and intended to go back to it. And then because there's a billion books, I have a billion books in my house and there's books on Audible and Kindle and all that kind of stuff, I never went back to it. We chose that for our road trip to Montana when we came to visit you in Montana, because he was interested in that too. And it is a story that I think everybody needs to know. It will piss you off. Mm-hmm. It will make you so mad. And so I've spent a lot of time listening to subsequent podcasts and kind of diving into this whole thing. And boy, is it a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So those were my two nonfiction. An investing book that I read that I think is really great for beginners is called The Single Best Investment by Lowell Miller. And it's super easy to digest. It's really for beginners, but it gives you kind of a map to using dividend income to create wealth. So that's a good one. And then I would say, Destiny of Souls. That book took me all year to read. So the first one, Journey of Souls, I read last year and it took me an entire year. And then Destiny of Souls, I literally just finished that right before Christmas. And I started it in January of last year. That was That's, we need a whole
series. It's a trip. We do need a series on that.
We need a whole series. So that one, and my favorite fiction book last year, it was called Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And I'm not even going to tell you what it's about because you'll think that I'm crazy, but it was a very highly rated book last year. So if you've heard of it and thought, ah, that book sounds a little crazy, I thought the same thing. And it was really good. It was really worth the read. And then the final one I'll say is maybe the one that's on your shelf by Matt Haig, How to Stop Time. That mm-hmm. was a very, he writes a great story. And that was, you know, something that I went into also thinking, I don't know about this book. And it turned out to be a really cool story, very well-written book.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to, side note, give you guys some of the stuff that my kids read. So I have two, I have twins that are 15 and I have a 13-year-old. So last year they were 12 and 14. And when we go to Montana, they read an insane amount of books because we're off grid. So there's no internet connection. There's no internet connection unless you want to sit and watch it load like you're on AOL. And so we don't do that, right? It's just, it makes you so mad in this world of like instant scrolling, waiting for even 5 seconds for something to load feels like 100,000 fucking years. So we don't do it. And the kids end up reading, we end up talking, we sit outside for 10 to 12 hours every single day. Like there's this 1000 hours thing going around, like go outside for 1000 hours this year. And I added up the amount of time we're outside in the 3 months that we're there, and we're at 900. So we do our 1000 hours in a 3 month stretch. And so the girls just read, they go out and sit in the hammocks. We have hammocks like placed all over the property that you can kind of go out. You can be alone, you can be with other people, whatever. And they go out in the hammocks and they read for hours during the day, which I love for their childhood. But I want to mention some of the books that they read that they really liked last year. So I'm going to try to remember some of the stuff they read. So we all read this series by Ted Dekker that was this dragon series. I actually read it, and so did Michael. I forgot to tell you guys this during my thing. So I actually read it, and it was an amazing series. They're like really short. They're meant for kids, but it says that it's for anybody from like age 9 to 99, right? And I found that to be true. It's really like it's written in a beautiful allegory. And it was the And There Were Dragons series. And there's 6 books in the series. They're short. I got through them in, I don't know, a week and a half to 2 weeks. And my kids read them. And it's really, it's a spiritual book, but written in a really cool, I don't want to say sci-fi, but like kind of like that way. Really cool stories set in the future. And then they read all of the Percy Jackson series last summer. They loved those. If your kids are into like action adventure, that's a great series. They also read a series that was actually one of the books was actually gifted to me by the author. She knew I had kids, and she's an author for this exact age, and it's called The Blameless. And I gave it to the girls because she sent it to me. And I thought, oh, that's such a kind gift. I have no idea if they'll read it. I'm definitely not going to make them. We'll just see what happens. And I gave it to them. And one of my twins like blew through the book. And then the girls subsequently blew through that book as well. I had to go and buy the second one. They loved it. I guess there's a third one. They made me message her on Instagram and ask her if there's a third one coming, because they wanted the end of the story so bad. And she said, yes, there is. It's not out yet. But the first two of The Blameless, they thought it was a beautiful story. They really liked it. Kennedy read a series called Crave last year that she loved, and it's like the newest one just came out. It's called Cherish, I think, and that was like 6-7 books long. Tegan went back and read a couple of Sophie Kinsella, of my favorites from when I was in my early 20s. My two favorites of hers are Can You Keep a Secret and The Undomestic Goddess. They're both funny and light, you know, chick lit books, and she read both of those, really liked them. Then she went and read Bitter is the New Black. And I remember laughing out loud on a train to that book, to where people around me were like, who is this psycho and what is she doing here? And so they read these, they kind of like went back and read some of the stuff that I had in the house that I had read from before. And those turned out to be nice things for us to talk about. But those are a few of the books that the girls read last year that they really liked. I know that once I'm done with this, I'm going to think of some other ones that they really loved. And maybe we'll talk about books again on another podcast, and we'll bring all of those up. But those are some of the ones that my teens loved, and has like really fostered their love of reading and made them want to pick up the next book right away, which is exactly what I want. I want them to get fall so in love with a book that they can't wait to read the next page. And we've really been lucky to find some good books like that this year. All right, we did it. Something we want, something we need, something to wear and something to read. And I think this was a good 2023 wrap up about where we're at. I have no idea where this podcast is going to go. I do know that it's going to come in the form of a conversation with Liz. And I thought, you know, kind of fun if we did a thing where, as we're kind of talking, whatever comes up as we're talking, we could do a phone a friend idea where we maybe know somebody who would know or be able to answer questions for us on this certain topic, whatever it is we're talking about. And we're going to talk about all six of the cornerstones. So we're going to get a wide variety from how to make money, how to save money, how to invest money, to get in the gym, and what should you be doing in the gym? What should we be eating? And how are we focusing on our mental health and relationships with our family and parenting? I want to talk about parenting. I want to talk about marriage. I want to talk about partnership. I want to talk about friendship, something that I've been like really honestly failing at in my life, is understanding what it means to be a friend. And I want to be better at it. So I want to talk about those things. And I want to talk about spirituality. And I want to talk about, you know, modern pop culture. And I want nothing to be off limits for us. And why not? We should be able to talk about, these are all of our individual experiences that we're here, like for this time to have. There's no reason not to talk about it just because we're afraid of what someone else might say about it. Fuck them. Let's talk about it. So if you're here for this, we're here for this too. And we will meet you back here at the Wake Up Podcast next time.